I am Jim Rome, a tremendous Monday to you. Welcome to the program. It is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so I'm going to open it up to you right now. Open phones, hour number two. We had two interviews in the first hour. I've got another interview coming up next hour. So this is your hour, 1-800-636-8686. Again, the breaking news this morning, Vontaze Burfict, another cheap shot, ejected from yesterday's game and now suspended for the rest of this season. This from the NFL. I'm reading a statement from the NFL. NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyan issued this suspension. In a letter to Burfict, Runyan wrote, and I quote, "There were no mitigating circumstances on this play. Your contact was unnecessary, flagrant, and should have been avoided. For your actions, you were penalized and disqualified from the game. Following each of your previous rule violations, you were warned by me and each of the jointly appointed appeal officers that future violations would result in escalated accountability measures. However, you have continued to flagrantly abuse rules designated to protect yourself and your opponents from unnecessary risk." End quote. Bottom line, there is no place in that game for this guy. Period. That's not a one-off. That's not a one-time thing. That's a perfect thing. This is who this guy is. This is what this guy does. And who this guy is a cheap shot artist, a dirty player, somebody who was a threat to safety every time he steps on the field and puts on his pads and his helmet. And on top of that, that type of garbage, dangerous and reckless as it is, does not help his own team either. I mean, this guy has no place in the NFL. This is the guy. This is who he is. And if you didn't know that already, you're a fool. I'm looking at you, John Gruden. And for this guy to get all bent when he got ejected from the game. But then again, they did bring in Antonio Brown, too, and defend him. This is who Burfict is, and there is no place for a guy like that in the NFL. And this is not about, oh, why not just put flags on all these guys? That's not what that's about. I mean, that literally is a kill shot, and there's no place for it. So he was ejected and suspended for the rest of the year, and I'd be shocked if he was allowed onto an NFL field ever again, and he shouldn't be. 1-800-636-8686. All right, some of the reaction from hour number one. At Brian C60 tweets, Vontaze Burfict has been suspended 9 times. I don't remember him being suspended 9 times. Signed, Ferris Bueller's mom.
9 times.
9 times.
9 times.
9 times. Dear Jim, how was your weekend? Mine was way too short. Signed, Dax Hail Mary Pass. Brian and Charlotte wore Beaks and Haley Jowell's omelet riding mini bikes together. Beaks didn't need to jump the day, much less the weekend, much less the week, much less the entire NFL season, much less the decade. Man, it's so lazy. You got to do better. Do you have a take on sports? Do you have a take on any of the personalities we're talking about? Any of the issues? Anything other than calling one of your own fat? I understand he got into a weight loss competition and he gained weight. It's kind of like one thing, like when you're trying to lose weight and maybe you have a plan and you're losing 5 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds, and then you plateau and then you lose 1 pound, 1 pound, and it's frustrating. I understand that's one thing. I understand that getting into a weight loss competition and gaining weight is not a good look, but it's also not a take on this show. Dear Jimmy, it was sad watching Bills fans getting all hyped about facing their conference's big brother. Those fat asses stuffed themselves into their house because they actually thought this year would be different. What a bunch of unrealistic losers. Signed, Huskers fans. Casey, New Hampshire. Yeah, there's a difference between those two things. I knew Nebraska was in deep against Ohio State. I did not expect that. Nor did I expect what I'm seeing this season from the Huskers. As for Buffalo, it is different. This season absolutely is different. They may not win that division, but they still have every bit the look of a playoff team. And they had a look at that game, too. In a game where the Patriots could get nothing going offensively, where Tom Brady had a bad game, where they needed their defense to win that game for them, they needed a huge special teams play, and in a game where Josh Allen did not play well and got knocked the hell out, they still had a chance in the end. So this year definitely is different for Buffalo. Hey, Jim, even I think Vontaze Burfict is dirty. Regards, Adam Hawks' roach-infested apartment. Signed Nick Casillas in Westchester. Wore Garrett Ritt bringing canned rations of mincemeat for lunch.
It's lit!
Mincemeat. Dude does not do mincemeat or spam or rations. But my man smashes sugar. Early in the day, too. Early and often. Dear Jim, I've got a question for Cowboys fan. How do you like me now? Regards, reality. I took Dallas on the NFL on CBS. And what I said was, I had already picked against the Saints this year on that show. I picked against them going to LA, and there was no way in hell I was going to pick against the Saints at home in the dome and pick against them twice on the NFL on CBS. Yes, I will. And I did. And the Cowboys blew a golden opportunity, but taking nothing away from the Saints. I mean, this is what you get with Sean Payton. You knew he'd scheme up. Teddy Bridgewater gets it done. And they played a big game. Dear Jim, it's not even been two full years, but it's now time to pull the ripcord on Josh Allen. Dude is almost as bad as Nathan Peterman. And if not for his four turnovers, the Bills win that game by 10. Paul in Albany. War Alvin hitting me with a fat alarm due to the insane amount of cider donuts I crushed this weekend. I can do that. How about the Fat Symphony? But they're not pulling the plug on Josh Allen. They're not pulling the ripcord on him. They're not giving up on him. Come on, man. Yes, he still makes a lot of poor choices. Yes, he still makes a lot of mistakes. But they're not giving up on that arm, that athleticism. It's way too soon to give up on that guy. Come on, man. Get real, Paul. Hey, go ahead. Have 15 cider donuts if you want. Just don't come in here with bad takes like that. They had a chance to win that game. Yeah, if you want to have a conversation. I'm not even saying you pull the plug on Mitchell Trubisky. I want to get into that. If you want to have a conversation about a quarterback situation and whether or not a guy fits with an offense, let's go ahead and do that. Because he got knocked out and they beat the Vikings with Chase Daniel. If you want to talk about a quarterback situation and a controversy, let's talk about what's going on in Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew II and Nick Foles. But no, we're not talking about pulling the plug on Josh Allen. Mike D for three tweets. Football and cheap shots sound good to me. Signed, Sark.
Get ready to right on, baby. Let's go.
Get it? Cheap shots? The thing about Burfict, and it goes back to that statement that I read from John Runyon. There were no mitigating circumstances on that play. Your contact was unnecessary, flagrant, and should have been avoided. That's the bottom line. That was not bang, bang. That was not football is played at an unbelievable rate of speed. It's almost impossible to adjust. We're talking about a player who was down. And this guy came in so late and so high and so aggressively and went hat to hat. I mean, that was so egregious. That was so reckless. That was so dangerous. And if he had done that even once, that would have been one of the biggest cheap shots I'd ever seen. But we're talking about a guy who's done this time and time and time and time again. And he's still doing it. There's just no place in that league for that guy. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones quickly. And I'm doing that because I need time to lay out my thoughts on America's team and the way they got it done on the road against the Ravens. Let's go to Ohio. Corey, good to have you. Corey, how are you?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Corey.
I just wanted to lay out my week for you because it was pretty disappointing. I had to read article after article about Dak Prescott being better than Patrick Mahomes and Pro Football Focus going as far as to say Dak Prescott is the second-best quarterback in the NFL. So Patrick Mahomes goes down to Detroit, and all that we found out about him was if he's short of Tyreek Hill, Eric Fisher, and Damian Williams, you can hold him to 34. With a three-man pass rush that gets there in 0.3 seconds. If that's all you got, hand him the trophy. Meanwhile, I have a Sunday night math problem for you. The second-best quarterback in the NFL takes the best offensive line, the best running back in football, Amari Cooper, and Randall Cobb, and he can't scrape 13 to beat the Saints.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Alvin?
Not a very good call.
Okay, now this is extremely rich to me. Let me tell you what just transpired. I didn't have a big issue with that, but Alvin DeLauro, by virtue of his pedigree, by virtue of the fact that he is probably the finest engineer in the history of sports talk radio. All right, so again, by virtue of his pedigree, and by virtue of the fact that Alvin, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you got a good look at him right now. By virtue of his pedigree and the fact that he is the best engineer in the history of sports talk radio, I have given Alvin DeLauro a great deal of authority and a great deal of autonomy. And by that I mean, he's got the hammer. It's not me. Alvin can end any of you whenever he wants without checking with me. He does not need my permission. Now, myself, I thought that call was okay. It was fine. I would not have run it, but Alvin has that authority. So I just asked him on the air, Alvin, why did you do that caller like that? And his response was, and I quote, dude, the nerves. He lacked composure and poise. He was jittery. Alvin DeLauro called somebody else jittery. Alvin DeLauro questioned somebody else's poise and composure. Dude, again, you are a wizard and a legend at banging those buttons on that board. However, I've heard you on the air, Alvin, and if we're going to be brutally frank and accountable, if we're going to look into that so-called Goggins mirror of accountability, the accountability mirror, you would dial up some sound of yourself right now talking to me, and then we'll hear jittery and nervous. Go ahead. Hit that button if you know where that button is.
95-95.
No, dude. That's not the button I'm talking about.
Top of the circle.
I'm talking about a Q&A with me on any given day over the past 10 years. Alvin, that is rich. Alvin goes with the perfectly produced sound where he sounds awesome. Why don't we go back to something not as produced when you first try to come on the air and actually have a conversation with me? Go ahead.
When is the wedding?
Mid-November, about 6 weeks from now. And if I'm as nervous as I am right now towards then, it's going to be a train wreck.
There you go. All right. So he ran that guy for being, quote, jittery and nervous. Anyway, going back to the point that he made, did he say that somebody said or somebody tried to suggest, much less Pro Football Focus? I don't know if that's true. I don't know what he was citing. I'm not going to put this on anybody, except I would say this. No sane person would say that Dak Prescott is better than Patrick Mahomes. He's just not. By any metric, any analytic, anything, he's just not. Dak's very good. We could talk about whether or not Dak is elite. We could talk about whether or not Dak is a franchise quarterback. Of course, you know my take on quarterbacks and what they make. It's all about timing, not stats. Not even necessarily wins, but timing, when it's their time. Dak is betting on himself, and every big game that he wins, the price goes up. We can go on and on about that. Dak is not better than Patrick Mahomes. I don't know anybody who knows anything about anything who would suggest that. And they had a good opportunity last night, and they let it get away. That said, man, tip your hat to the Saints. They did what they needed to do. That was a huge win. A huge win for them at home. 1-800-636-8686. All right, phone lines jumping up right now. I like what I see. It is your hour. Also, Alvin, I do owe you an ATP reference. It is Monday. The Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do right now is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question. Listen later on in this program, and I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. When we come back, more of your telephone calls, your thoughts on Vontaze Burfict. My thoughts on the Browns. I've got some baseball for you, too. Hey, do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love Jack? Then you better get with the program and get down to Hooters. Catch that game and play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are just a few questions away from a chance at making some bank. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It is easy to play, and it works like making prop picks. Who's going to win? Might be you. And it couldn't get any easier, and it is free to play. Again, you love wings. You love ice cold beer. Who doesn't love the world famous Hooters girls? There's no better place to get your sports fix. And now you can get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters, watch all the games, eat, drink, play for all the cash. With Hooters, Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyBall.com. Register now, then head to Hooters for every game all season long.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a full slate of games, including Brady and the Pats on the road in Washington. The Ravens and Steelers renew their AFC North rivalry. Check your local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. I'm going back to back. I'm there this weekend again. Love it. In fact, Drew Kalisky has already emailed me my assignment. He is a warrior. Just killing that Sunday. And when I roll in early Monday morning, it's already in my inbox. So I'm going to go back this weekend. Can't wait to get there. Vontaze Burfict. I mean, not only should he never, ever see an NFL field ever again, it should have been done a while ago. This should have already happened a while ago. He should not have even had the opportunity to do what he did yesterday. But he did, because the Raiders signed him. But I don't think he's going to get that opportunity again. All right, so for anybody, let's move on, and my phone lines are open. For anybody who was crushing the Cleveland Browns after week one, for everybody who was killing them for not being ready for prime time, killing them for reading their own clippings, for the clowns who are dropping phrases like overrated as hell. I've got five words for you. Scoreboard. Look up at it. No, better yet, how about this? Standings. Look up at them. Because America's team just rolled into Baltimore and put a beating on the Ravens to the tune of 40-25. And well, 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 look who's in first in the AFC North. The Cleveland freaking Browns. America's team. You know, the Cleveland Browns. The crew that most of you wanted to throw in the trash after only 1 week. The same crew that you wanted to dump on again after week three. That crew went into the house of a rival and beat them by 15. And took over the top spot in that division. That was a 10-10 game in the third, and they blew it wide open. That's how you finish on the road. That was a brawl. A one-sided brawl, but a brawl nonetheless. It had everything. Big plays, insane runs, dudes trying to choke each other out on the field. mean, I have no idea how things got so bad between Odell Beckham and Marlon Humphrey, but I know I never expected to see one guy trying to choke out another guy on national TV. But that's exactly what Humphrey was doing to Beckham. And Freddie Kitchens was pissed. Freddie said, quote, "I saw what you saw. He was getting choked on the ground. They get away with that because it's Odell. I'm going to be on the phone with Al when I get on the bus," end quote. And to his credit, Beckham handled that as only Beckham can handle that.
It's hot out there. You know, we're just competing. I'm just upset I lost my earring.
I'm just upset that I lost my earring. Browns took it all in stride. He took it in stride. They took it in stride. And then they took everything else Baltimore threw at them in stride. You want to take away Beckham? By blanketing him and choking him, you want to erase the best receiver in the game? That's fine. Here's Jarvis Landry going for 8 receptions and 167 yards. Here's Nick Chubb. Well, have you met Nick Chubb? Because this is what Nick Chubb can do.
On first down, takes the ball, gives the ball a cutback by Chubb. He's to the 10. He's still running to the 5. He dips outside left. He's going in. Touchdown. What a run. Nick Chubb.
What a run is right. Browns radio. Hell of a lot of guys had a look at Chubb on that play. None of them could knock him to the ground. So what does Nick Chubb do? He chases that with this.
Mayfield gets motion from one of the tight ends, takes the snap, gives. Chubb runs to the left, bangs it to the outside. He dives for the goal line. Touchdown, Nick Chubb, his second of the day.
To quote a former Raven, that's two for him.
It's two for me. It's two for me.
That's two for Nick. And that made it 24-10. But Baltimore scored to make it 24-18 with just under 10 minutes to go. One play later, Chubb ends the game, and he ends the Ravens by running a stake right through them.
Toss sweep, near side. Here comes Chubb with a cutback. He's out to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes for the 50. Here goes Chubb. Uh-oh. He's going to go. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nick Chubb. He's got a hat trick.
See ya. Thanks for coming. Nice knowing ya. And after seeing that, I'm guessing a bunch of folks want to get right back on that bandwagon now. A bunch of folks who were taking runs at the quarterback and the head coach are going to act like they never said those things, act like they never gave up on those two guys. They're going to change their tune after seeing Baker Mayfield go 20 of 30 for 342 yards. Where are the losers now saying how overrated that is? The offense went for 530 yards. So how about you come in here and choke down that crow, Sando, tip your bleeping hat, and show some love and some respect for Freddie Kitchens, who a bunch of you were saying was in way over his head, and that that gig was way too big for him, and they should have never given him that job in the first place. And still others. Others want to say, yeah, well, who cares? So what? The offense is finally doing what everybody expected. Yeah, well, except for one thing. Except that it's not. Because as good as that offense was, they've got another gear. That offense can get even better. There's another level for this group. But even though there is another level, let's just appreciate what we just saw. That was a macho performance. Even Bondo would admit that that was a macho performance. 1-2. There you go. I wonder how that macho weekend's going. With the Macho Man, the original Macho Man, Bondo. What are you talking about, Rome? I can reset that or not. He knows what I'm talking about. That macho crew on that houseboat knows exactly what I'm talking about. The Macho Weekend.
What's solid? What's macho? Is there a criteria we have to meet?
No, no criteria. Just wear cutoffs and have some flip-flops. Shirt optional.
This guy Bondo once called me up and invited me to the so-called Macho Weekend, where he and 12 other dudes get on a houseboat, and they pay for a cocktail waitress to come in for a few hours and serve them drinks. The Macho Weekend, led by Bondo. Anyway, 1-2 on the season. The Browns were 1-2 on the season, coming off that tough loss to the Rams in Cleveland, facing a ton of heat. That group goes on the road, beats the crap out of a good Baltimore team in Baltimore. And it was not just the offense. The defense had four sacks. They had three turnovers. They held Lamar Jackson under 250 passing yards for the first time this season. And now they're in first place in the division for the first time in 5 years. If the season ended today, which is absurd because it doesn't, but if the season ended today, they're in the playoffs. You know that whole thing about, yeah, well, the season doesn't end today, so it's a ridiculous argument to make. Yeah, except that so many of you wanted the season to end after one game. So many of you said their season was over after three games. So, if the season were to end today, they'd be in the postseason. So don't act like it ended last week. Now, let me just say one more thing. Don't get this part twisted. I'm not saying that they've officially landed. I'm not saying that they have arrived. I'm not even saying that they've completely turned the corner. They're not a finished product. And they still have to face a lot of challenges. I know this. And they know this. But as Freddie Kitchens said in the locker room after the game, this is a bleeping team.
All I want to do is tell you guys this. This is a team.
Damn right.
All right? Offense, defense, special teams. Everybody did your job. Everybody whipped the man in front of you. We ain't done yet. All we've done is win a game on the road. That's it. But it was a division game. All right? And we understand that too. Now we got to come back and we got to prepare the way we prepare. All right, because it does no good unless we build on this. But I think everybody sees what we can be. We got to learn from this one just like we did last week. Hell of a job, kicker. Hell of a job. Come here, man. Give me a hug, man.
Does that sound and look like a guy who's in over his head? America's team was in the building yesterday, and they were wearing white shirts, orange pants, and Baltimore's faces on the bottom of their cleats. In other words, this is a bleeping team. And this is why I did not bleeping jump ship at the first sign of adversity or the second, because it is a bleeping team. This is bleeping America's team.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Big effort, big performance. All right, we are coming back. And I'm still looking for telephone calls this hour. Mike Norvell, Memphis head coach, top of the third hour. Big game of the day yesterday on CBS was Minnesota at Chicago. I want to break that one down, too. Stay with it. It is the bottom of the hour, so you know that means it is time for a sports update. Here's the very latest. Jay Berman anchors.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Quick reminder, you want to come into Hooters every Monday, all season long, to play Monday Night Moneyball. You are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes in Hooters Freebies. A new chance to win every week in Hooters Girls to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. And so, as mentioned, the big game of the day yesterday on CBS was Minnesota at Chicago. And for Bears fans, I've got some really good news, some bad news, and one really weird quote. Let's start with the good news. You beat the Vikings 16-6. Big win. Here's some more good news. You beat the Vikings 16-6, and you did it without Mitch Trubisky. Here's the bad news. You beat the Vikings 16-6, and you did it without Mitch Trubisky. Now, if I told you Bears fans before that game on Sunday that you would lose Trubisky to a shoulder injury on the first possession of the game, most Chicago fans would mark that down as a loss and then move on, especially when it appeared at that time that it was a really serious injury, the kind of injury that head coach Matt Nagy was anxious about when answering questions about whether or not it might end his season.
I haven't found out a whole lot other than it's his shoulder. So we'll, I'll know more here probably the next day or two, hopefully day. But we'll see how all that goes.
Apparently, it's not as bad as all that. Adam Schefter tweeted, quote, initial MRI on Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky revealed he has a dislocated left shoulder and a slight labrum tear, but does not need surgery and should be back, quote, sooner rather than later, end quote, per source. He will travel with the team to London and is unlikely to play versus the Raiders. Hey, Bears fan, I mean, I don't want to be weird about this, but be honest. What's your reaction when you hear he'll be back sooner than later? Are you happy to hear that or not as happy to hear that? Just be real with me. Be honest. Anyway, if you see that guy go down early in that game and you lose the quarterback that you traded up to get and chose instead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and you lose that guy to a shoulder injury and it looks bad, I mean, you should lose that game, right? Except they didn't, because Chase Daniel came in and did what was needed to beat the Vikings. 22 of 30, 195 yards, a touchdown, and the win. No, he was not Mahomes. He was not Watson. But the painful question is, was he Trubisky? Because again, and I hate to ask, but Bears fans, you know you're already thinking this. Do they win that game if Trubisky does not get hurt? Nobody is saying that Daniel is a better athlete. Nobody's even saying necessarily that he's a better quarterback than Trubisky. But is he a better fit for the offense? Does he know the offense better than Trubisky? Because it sure seemed like Nagy trusted Daniel more than he trusted Mitch. And how weird is that? Moreover, how weird is it that the offense seems to need to be scaled back for the starter, but it's a little bit more open with the backup? I mean, consider what I just said. How weird is it that it's scaled back at all for your starter? Aren't you supposed to add pages to the playbook and not rip them out for your starter, especially if your starter was selected number two overall? And no, I don't want to hear that when the Bears have the kind of defense that they have, that you could have me win at quarterback. Although you might be right about that, because that was a monster performance by a monster defense. An amazing defense. 6 points allowed in 10 possessions. Dalvin Cook had been destroying everybody in his path until he met the Bears. All of them. Because there was nowhere to run. 14 carries, 35 yards for an upper tier back. One of the best backs in the game. And you know what's even scarier than the Bears defense doing that? Is the Bears defense doing that without two of their best players. Two dominant players. Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith. I mean, how do you do that? Well, allow me to introduce John Gruden to a young player by the name of Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack out of the University of Buffalo. I would say maybe you have heard of him, but since you traded him, Chunk, I doubt you have. Anyway, here's what this particular guy can do. First play of the second half, Kirk Cousins drops back and Khalil Mack drops Kirk Cousins.
8 carries, 15 yards in the first half. Cousins loses the football. Strip sack and a takeaway by Chicago. Who else but Khalil Mack forcing that fumble?
This is, I mean, first play of the second half, left tackle against Mack, and he gets blown under, and then the acceleration to the quarterback.
Is it just me, or does Khalil Mack have a strip sack every single game? I mean, now it's just absurd. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. You know that's what he does. You do everything you can to try and stop him, and you still can't. Reggie White had that hump move. Kevin Green had that bull rush. Dwight Freeney had the spin move. Deacon Jones had the head slap. And Khalil Mack has the strip sack. And I know the strip sack is the result of the move, and not the move itself, but he does it so much that it's his signature. So from now on, don't even call it a strip sack. Just call it the Khalil Mack. Anytime somebody has a strip sack, call it a Khalil Mack, because he owns that. So what do? you send two guys at him and you hold him, and that still doesn't work. Roll it.
Throw down the field, probably in the middle of the field on this one.
His cousin standing in the pocket. Matt got to him. And another marker down as they sack Cousins for a second time. It was Robertson Harris along with Mac. Mac was the one that got contact on first.
It's not fair, Jim. He's too good.
He is too good, and it's not fair. This guy's a monster. The whole Bears defense is monstrous. Six sacks and nearly no rushing yards on a day when they were missing two of their best players against one of the best backs in the game. And I did mention at the very top that there was a weird quote. Remember that? Well, here's your weird quote. Mr. Strip Sack had the quote. And this one's pretty crazy.
How important was this win and making sure you defended home field today?
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man. It's a good division, man. It's going to be a lot of games that we got to win down the stretch, you know what I mean?
Wait, what? I'm sorry? Come again? Did my man just say what I thought that he said? Can we run that back again, please?
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
Wait, one more time?
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long.
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
Like, I'm not a veterinarian. What the hell does that even mean? I mean, I guess technically that's accurate, because if the dog don't poop fast, or if the dog do poop fast, then it wouldn't be for long, right?
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
Wait a minute. All right, so like I went to New York and back, and I wasn't there for even 24 hours, so I might be a little bit slow on the uptake today, but don't you want the dog to, well, like, you mean you'd rather have your dog take a long time? You know what? Never mind. And no, Rex, I don't need your take on this. I don't need your help on this, Rex. I'm not going to overanalyze that quote. I'm just going to say right now, this guy is unblockable. He had a monster game. He's rolling. He can say whatever the hell he wants about dogs pooping or humans pooping or anybody else for that matter. I don't
care. A dog
care.
That poops fast don't poop for long, man.
I agree, Khalil. A dog that poops fast don't poop for long. You're right about that. You're right. And if you thought that was a hell of a performance, look who they have next. Wait until next week because the Raiders are coming to town. And if Gruden pooped fast, he don't poop for long.
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
Khalil Mack didn't want to play here.
Uh-huh. And since Gruden doesn't know how good Mack is, or whether or not he want to play in Oakland, he's about to find out. Gruden is about to find out who Mack is. Because he's going to see him up close on Sunday. And if this guy does this to everybody else who tries to stand in front of him, you can only imagine what he's going to do to the guy and the team that gave up on him when he did not want to leave. If you thought those other dogs poop fast, they're not going to poop for long.
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
Can't dispute that. Right about that, Khalil. Quick email, dear Jim. You like to say that you're not the kind of guy who likes to say, I told you so. However, when it comes to the Browns, I want you to be that guy. Nothing puts a smile on my face like seeing the Browns dominate like they did yesterday and seeing the haters lose their minds. When the Browns win, America and the world wins. George and Seabus. Well said, George. I wish I had said that. In fact, I have said that many times. That was a macho victory. Backs to the wall. Everybody crushing their coach. Everybody crushing their quarterback. And they show up and they rise up and they put a 15-point beatdown on a rival in their own house. Great win. We will talk some Memphis football when we come back. Mike Norvell is my guest. And then on the back end of that, I've got open phones. and the Cubs fired Joe Maddon. Wouldn't you think that if you won a World Series with the Cubs, you could stay there as long as you wanted? He's out. And my thoughts on that and your phone call.